All right, welcome back. Favorite night of the week? Friday night, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. No question about it. My second favorite thing to do is look at creepy humanoid entities caught on tape. That's what I do. I like to go watch those videos. And right now, there are five humanoid entities caught on tape, a compilation, and you can watch the video right now at Coast to Coast AM. Featured in the collection alongside Mothman, flying humanoids, and all that bizarre stuff, there is this photograph that was taken at a gas plant in Texas back in 2012. I want you to go look at it. Why? I want your take on the image, and let us know over at Coast to Coast AM on our Facebook page. All right, this is Coast to Coast AM Friday night, open lines. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, standing in for George Norrie. More of your phone calls are next. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, Coast to Coast AM, standing in for George Norrie. Friday night, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. And I just want to get all of these phones in tonight. So let's see. Let's go to first-time caller Elaine, Springfield, Illinois. Elaine, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, good morning. I just want to say great selection of music this morning.
It's all Dan, our engineer here. I come into the studio, Elaine, and he's like, Jimmy, this is all done for you. And he just hands it to me, and he just knows my taste. He's a pretty talented guy. So I'll let him know. Thank you, Elaine.
Sure, that's pretty cool. Well, I just want to say that in 2001, I worked in Colorado as an EMT. And down in Boulder, and I lived up in Netherland, and so if anyone's driven up Boulder Canyon before, there's no side railings or anything, and it's literally a canyon made out of the mountain, through the mountain, and there's two lanes, and so I was driving up, I was in the middle, and boom, my car stopped, just all of a sudden stopped, and a boulder fell.
What?
And it did close down my side of the, going up west. My side of the road, but the other side, it wasn't closed down, but it was just kind of like your incident in your truck. Boom.
Yeah, when you say boulder, how big of a boulder? What are we talking about here? Size of your car?
No, not. I mean, it's because they fall.
Right.
They fall right down, I don't know, just maybe 3 feet, 4 feet.
Wow, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take much, anything like that through your windshield or through the, anything could have happened.
No, absolutely. And hey, I just want to do a shout out to my love, and our two worlds will come together as one day.
Well, then, there you go. Who's your love?
Good morning.
What's that?
Oh, who's my love?
Yeah.
Oh, his name's Pedro.
Okay, there you go, Pedro. Now, I do want to say this. I want to back up. I was giving Dan a hard time. I pick out the bumper music here, and he always wants to participate, and I won't let him, Elaine. So I'll thank you for that. I was just giving him a hard time. Thank you so much, Elaine. Have a great night.
Okay, you too. Take care.
Thank you. All right, let's go east. Let's go out east. Johnny in Florida. Johnny, you're up next on Coast.
How you doing? This is the first time I called. I've been listening to you radio station for so long, making up my mind, should it be that I decide to tell you what it is I am, or should it be that I don't? Because most of these stories about the aliens, about this, I don't really actually believe them. They shot us down or they shot them down. I think that I was kidnapped by one of these aliens and brought back, because I got these things in the back of my head. And they're always been there. They're two identical earmarks where the brain would be at, like if they actually went inside my mind. And since that day, I've seen so many things in my life. I mean, I've actually been able to communicate with something that I don't even know why and how I can do it. And it's electronically. I feel it all over my body and my hair and everything. And I feel that most of the stories are probably going to be lies that I hear people tell, because if you can say that they shot somebody down, they wouldn't actually let nobody see them again, to shoot them down again, or to have problems with them, or just to visualize them for what reason?
Well, Johnny, when did this happen? How long ago?
One day I woke up and I realized that Sunday wasn't in my mind. I remember it being Saturday.
When though, Johnny? When?
About, I would say anywhere from about 8 to 10 years, but I kept it quiet because there's no reason for me to try to analyze something that I can't figure out myself before I tell anyone, you know?
Well, how can you communicate? When you say communicate, how do you do that?
I actually don't communicate in the way that I can hear the voices, but if I can concentrate about what it is I want to tell them, I get my message. I can understand that someone's communicating with me and telling me things. And not only in the way that you will hear a voice, but in like a voice will have words, but this is electronically in my ear. I hear like a sound, like a metallic sound in my ear, and it increases and it goes away. And from the moment that it goes away, then I start to perceive and sense what it is that I wanted to know.
Well, what are they telling you?
First of all, my brother, who just recently wrote a book for Amazon, I got it here in my hand. It's called The Observer's Reality. My brother, he's a pretty smart guy. I guess you guys listen to the name of his book.
No, well, hold on, Johnny. What are they telling you?
Not to believe too many things about what it is that you hear them talking about. Spaceship or aliens, because they will never again be seen. They're the only thing that I know for certain that the stealth bombers is based upon the way they look. So the flying saucer and the spaceship that I saw when I stepped outside on the winter time, and it must have been either they left me or they were just going by, and it hit an air pocket in Colonus in December, and it was like a pyramid, but it's exactly what it is. You see a magnet. When you see a magnet that is dark, that's the color of the spaceship I saw. The metal, it isn't metal, it's magnetic. And it didn't make a noise. And it really, really, really had a speed that you can't even begin to imagine it unless you see it. Because from the moment that it left me, I live about 20 miles away from the beach. And it must have been on the beach within seconds because I saw it fly. And the distance that it flew and the way that it flew, it must have just hit the ocean. And I know they live in the ocean because of the darkness of the sky and the color that it was, that it's just like if you see a metal, a magnet. The color of the spaceship that I know are the real deal are metallic, black, magnetic. And they do have magnetic pulsion. In other words, the reason why they don't make noise is because for some reason or another, the Polaris, whatever it is that they use, it just, it's like when two magnets are together and then two magnets are apart, some of them track together and some of them don't, you can't put them together, especially if you got big magnets, you can't place them together. Because I've tried all those experiments and stuff like that, so I figured that's magnetic. Okay.
Well, I agree with you, Johnny. Let me jump in really quick. What city in Florida?
I don't know if I should tell you that. All right, let me tell you. I live in Hialeah, all right?
Where?
By the racetrack, in Hialeah racetrack.
But what's the other big city? What's the other big city?
What big city?
In Florida.
Oh, no. Yeah, Florida, Hialeah. Well, they got a whole bunch of different states and cities in Miami and Florida and stuff like that. This isn't a small town anymore. It's pretty big. Hialeah is by the racetrack. I live by the racetrack, the famous Hialeah racetrack.
Okay.
But and there's a lot of lights now. Before, they used to be darker and stuff like that. Now, what I have in the back of my head are two identical little circles, and I know that they were never there because I feel them sometimes. You know, they try to close up. I figure that that whatever it was, they will close up, but they never have. But it's the sound in my ear I hear. And then I got a little circle in my ear that I never had there before.
Well, you should go. And Johnny, thank you for sharing that with us. I just wish I knew where that racetrack was at. But you should really go and maybe get that checked out and see what's going on in the back of your neck. And if you got something by your ear, I would have a doctor take a look at that. Let's go to... I'm going to go international. I'm going to go Charles in Vancouver. Curtis in Vancouver. You're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really surprised I got through. Quick question is, this word you use, and I've heard it by other of your guests, other of your callers, Göbekli Tepe. And how do you spell that thing?
Göbekli Tepe.
Göbekli Tepe.
No, Göbekli. Göbekli Tepe.
What is that?
It's a very special place on the border of Turkey and Syria. It's 12,000 years old. It's the first, oldest megalithic site on the planet. 7,000 years older than the Great Pyramid of Egypt.
7,000
years. Yeah, it's crazy. Wasn't supposed to exist. It's beautiful, too. So go look it up. Göbekli Tepe.
How do you spell it?
Göbekli Tepe. Göbekli Tepe. Göbekli Tepe. Yeah, there you go, Curtis. Anything else on your mind?
That should do it. Thank you so much for taking the call.
Absolutely. And be safe up there in Vancouver. Love Vancouver. It's so funny. I get that question about Göbekli Tepe all the time. I got Göbekli Tepe t-shirts now, and everybody wants to know about Göbekli Tepe, except for Tommy. Tommy's never asked what Göbekli Tepe is. So there you go. Let's go to Wild Card Eddie, El Paso, Texas. Eddie, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you for taking my call. And also, I want to express my condolences to Art Bell and his family. He was a legend in his own time. I used to listen to his shows religiously.
Yep.
Gained a lot of knowledge. Jimmy, I wanted to ask you, if you say you're on a tour, specifically a cemetery tour, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the intensity of any activity in that tour, is it a possibility, say, anywhere from like 50 to 99% that you would bring something back with you?
Me personally, I wouldn't do it unless it was during the day.
During the day?
But look, you can do your own thing, Eddie. Please, do your own thing. But for me, the last thing I would do is tour a cemetery at night. That's just me.
I'm sorry. There's tours that you pay for,
right?
Just for a specific cemetery.
Yeah, and just
a group of people go through it.
Right. Just as long as it's during the day.
Oh, during the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, look, you just asked me something very specific. You know, is it possible that something could, you know, leave with you, right? And I'm totally with you on that. So. Do it during the day. I would feel more comfortable about leaving alone than doing it at night. That's my take. But yeah, go have fun. Go take the tour.
All right, thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, thank you. I wouldn't do it during the day either. But Eddie, go do your thing. Wild Card Shane in Colorado. Shane, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
Shane, would you go take a tour of a cemetery at night?
There's some cemeteries up here that are supposedly creepy, but yeah, I would.
You would do it. I don't even drive by them at night, let alone walk through it. What's on your mind tonight, Shane?
Well, I just wanted to let you and our listeners know about a company called VR Space and what they're doing or trying to do. I don't know if the government will let us do it, is they're going to launch a satellite that has 4K video, and it's going to be a satellite that travels around the Earth, and you're going to be able to put your VR or internet, you know, you can go on the internet and look down on Earth and look all around the sky at space in real time.
And you have issues with it, or are you excited about it?
I'm super excited about it.
What are the flat earthers going to think?
Right.
Well, yeah. I see you just laughed. we need to show them, you know, a little respect and love too as well. But I can't wait for anything like that to happen. When did you see the 4K I think it was in 4K, the 360-degree Russian spacewalk outside of the ISS that they released last week? Did you see that?
No.
Fully controllable with your mouse. Fully controllable. So you can spin around, you can look at the Earth, look at the ISS, spin it around, look at the astronaut's face, right? And just move the whole thing around, and it is so much fun. You should just go look it up. You know, it's called the 360.
The future is so bright that I need sunglasses.
Me too.
And I can't believe that this hasn't even been implemented yet. Like, why do we not have this?
Well, it's about first the one of the things when you have something like that, there are things on this planet that the government doesn't want satellites flying over and having civilians in control of the direction of the cameras. And think about
it. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I know. Antarctica, Area 51. You think North Korea wants satellites flying over that country?
Or what about the X-31 or X-37B?
The X-37B. And so you're up there, right, with this satellite, and you're looking at the Earth, and the X-37B goes flying by, right?
Did I get cut off?
No, you're still. No, you're still here.
Talking to you? Okay, I'm kidding.
Oh, see, that's funny, Shane. Well played, my friend.
No, I'm serious though. Like, this is the most.
I know it's the most sensitive subject that there can be. You're absolutely right, Shane. Are you there?
We should all pray for VR space that they're able to do this thing, because this will change the game.
Thank you so much. It's a game changer. I like that, Shane. Be safe and be well, my friend. We'll see you tomorrow night right here on Coast. He brings up one of the best points out of everything. You know what? I want to bring in one more call before we get to let's go to George, Corpus Christi, Texas. George, real quick, last call before the bottom of the hour.
Yes, I just wanted to talk about light workers and the connection to, like, the ancient cultures of, like, the Anunnaki and throughout history, we had Edgar Cayce. People, the definition of a light worker is the betterment of humanity.
Right.
And I think you all are light workers, and I think you're one too, because you're telling the truth of what's going on with all this corruption, and on your show, on your network show, and George Norrie, and all the way to Art Bell, and the one who founded your medium, Marconi. All these are light workers because they're bettering humanity, and I think.
What about you, George? George, are you a light worker?
No, I don't have any of those gifts. I know that we're all good, and I think it's a force of good and evil throughout the universe, which is, there's always going to be a battle. They go together, good and evil, and I think the ones that do good are the ones that progress the human race and the universe in general. And I'm real nervous because I actually got to talk to three of y'all light workers, Richard Surrett, George, the great George Norrie, and you now, Jimmy Church. I'm so lucky. Either I'm lucky or I'm blessed by the gods.
Yeah, George. But listen, this is what you do, George. You are a light worker. What you need to do, and I'll convince you of that, get a light worker baseball hat. Right? And it says light worker right across the front. Uh-huh. Put that on and walk down the street, and you don't tell me you're not going to feel different. So think about that. George. Yeah, you would. You're a light worker. You called me. All right? So don't forget that, my friend. Now go get the baseball hat. I'll see you tomorrow night right here on Coast to Coast. This is Coast to Coast AM, standing in for George Norrie. Friday night, open lines. We'll be right back. See, I told you Canada would be representing tonight. Man, Rick Emmett, Triumph, what a band. Takes me right back to high school. If you enjoy what I do here on Coast to Coast, it's very simple. My show that I do, it's called Fade to Black, right before Coast to Coast each night. It's live Monday through Thursday, 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific. And done by design. As soon as we're done, you get to just come over and enjoy another 4 hours of supernatural and paranormal conspiracy stuff. here with George every night of the week. Just click on my name over at Coast to Coast AM. It'll take you over and you'll get all the information that you need. You can also follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. I'm a big social media person, and everything that you need or all of the information is right there on Twitter, and you can certainly reach out to me directly. With that, we've got a full bank of phone calls here. I'm going to try to get through them all before the end of the show. It's Friday Night Open Line, standing in for George Norrie, Army Host Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM, standing in for George Norrie. I'm Rose Jimmy Church, and I do want to thank, before we get to the end of the night tonight, every Friday night that I'm hanging out here with the Coast audience, it is my honor, it's a pleasure, and it's a totally humbling experience. I've been doing it for so long now, and I just want to thank everybody here, okay? And it's been a rough couple of weeks for the Coast audience and with the passing of Art Bell. And here I am on Friday night in here. It's such an honor and a privilege, and I want to thank all of you. And I don't want you to think that that goes unnoticed here and what this audience means to this show. Okay, so with that, let's have some fun. Let's go east of the Rockies. Doug, New Jersey. Doug, you're up next on Coast.
Good evening. How are you tonight, James?
Hey, Doug, I'm better now that I'm talking to you. That's all that matters, right?
I appreciate that. You know, that's kind of like a hug. When you give one, you always get one back.
Well, I try for that. You know, I'm serious, too. Absolutely. That's the way life should be.
And you do come across that way. You through the airways, the people who do listen to the show regularly and hear you as much as I do. I'm a devout fan. I don't miss a night.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Well, when you are on, I greatly appreciate it. And I do have a little tale I'd like to tell. But before I do, if you can give me a second, I just want to say to the Coast family and the Coast audience and listeners about the passing of Art Bell. What a fantastic man we lost there. And I want to thank especially people like yourself and George Norrie and George Knapp and all the other greats who are coming to keep this program going. I remember when it very first started. I can't even tell you the exact date it was, but I remember specifically. We just gotten home from a Grateful Dead concert. A buddy of mine dropped me off, and he got in his car and he took off. He had just come back from the train station. It was 1:30 in the morning. The phone rings. He says, he's calling me and he says, "You got to put on this radio station and listen to this story." Well, it was the first time that I had ever heard of Art Bell. First time I ever heard of Coast to Coast. And
right.
I was very lucky. It happened to be Mel's Hole, which...
Really? Of all the nights, right?
It captivated me to the point, like I said, that I'm afraid I'm going to miss something if I'm not, you know, hearing this show that every night. But once again, I'd like to say, you know, I just want to thank you guys for doing a great job. Now, the story that I called in to tell, I don't know if this falls under the category of the heading of ghosts or supernatural or spiritual or nature or what, but it occurred, I'd say, about 8 years ago. Me and a few friends, we had gone night fishing, and we were out in a boat, and there's gentlemen who come there during the day, and they'll take, I'm sure you've seen them, those glow sticks. They grow almost like a fluorescent green.
Right.
They'll take them and they'll go ahead and snap them and, you know, shake them up to make them go. And they'll put them inside of a gallon milk jug, put the lid back on it, and they tie a drop line from that, so with the hook on the bottom, and they fish at night for catfish. And when they come down, they could find their jugs by, you know, if it's still dark out, they could see the jugs from the light sticks.
Right.
Well, we're used to seeing these while we're out there on the water. We're fishing with lures. We're bass fishing, in fact. And my buddy says, "Look at that." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Somebody there who's got a good-sized fish." He says, "And that one jug," he says, "look at it moving." I said, "Boy, that thing really is moving." And this jug is taking off the pretty good, you know, clip across the water. And we're in a pond. I would say a lake, rather. It's maybe 200 acres. And he said, "Look at that thing." And I said, yeah, yeah, I seen it. It's moving fast. He said, no, look at it. It's going up on land. I said, well, then a turtle grabbed it. A turtle's dragging the whole rigmarole, the light and everything. He said, that light's going through the trees right now. I said, what? And I turned around, and sure enough, that green lit jug was now up in the trees and moving through them like a balloon that got away from a kid. It's just floating away, and it floated until it cleared the trees. If it did still have line attached to it, it didn't get snagged on any of the tree branches or anything, and it cleared the tops of the trees, and it just floated on off. And we looked at each other. Now, there was four of us in total in a boat, a 16-foot boat, and between the four of us, I think maybe we might have had 2 6-packs in the boat. So there wasn't no drunken misidentification here of what this thing was.
Well, what do you think? You know, I'm picturing this in my mind's eye right now, and I have no idea where to go with this.
I mean, as we watched, like I said, it drifted at a slow pace, so we had the time to. The four of us are yelling out all kinds of shit. I'm sorry, pardon my language.
That's okay.
We had gone through everything we could think of. When he started saying it was going on land, I said, I didn't think twice. I said, well, then the turtle grabbed the bait. He's crawling up on shore.
But says, no, what about a big tree. Bird? What about a big bird?
Well, these baits are anchored to the bottom with about a 2 or 3 ounce weight, and it's probably maybe, I would say, 15, 20 feet deep. And I don't know if a bird would go down and get it at night in the dark and how it would find the bait and know it's there to begin with. We had come up with maybe it was a muskrat. And then, no, they're vegetarians. They wouldn't be taking a glob of chicken livers, you know.
Right.
And then my one buddy, he says, how about a raccoon? The raccoon would have climbed up in them trees. I says, and then what? Sprouted wings and flew away, dragging this milk bottle with it? And I mean, that's why I said we thought of, you know, just about every kind of natural, you know, thing that we thought could happen. And my one buddy says, I'm telling you, maybe something was swimming through the water and it got snagged on it, and the line got tangled with it, and it flew off, and that's why it was moving slow, because it was dragging all this weight with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. And Doug, I want to thank you for the phone call. We're right here at the end of the show. But when something like, and thank you for, what you said about art and the audience, that was really cool. But for it to go from anchored from the water to land up through the trees and up and away, hey, you've got me on that one. That's a head scratcher. Let's go out west. Alvin in Fresno, California. Alvin, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, Jimmy Cherry, what's going on?
How you doing, Alvin?
I'm doing good. Hey, I wanted to talk to you, man, about X-Files. I was greatly disappointed, and that's like a classic show right there. I wanted to know your take on it. The first 2 episodes, man, was good, and then it just fell off, man. Like it was horrible. It was like hard to follow.
What about the last episode?
The last episode? Nah. The last episode. Take one of those classic episodes and compare it to like that last episode. It kills it by far. I'm talking about Drive-By Easy.
Well, see, Alvin, look, I kind of hear you. I do. But Smoky Man gets killed. Mulder and Scully's son, who turns out to be alien, you thought he was shot. He's in the water in Seattle. Turns out he survives. His head pops up. So anyway, all of that, a lot of things got resolved there, and it certainly suggested a whole new season that it's coming back because he lived. And Smoking Man got smoked.
Am I still on? Or?
Yeah, you're still on, Alvin.
Okay. All right, here we go. So it should have been first episode, second episode, maybe the third. Or that last episode should have been the third. The third episode should have been that last episode. All the other stuff in between was just garbage, man.
Well, that's the way Alvin. That's the way Chris Carter has always done it. That's the way Chris Carter, they used to do E.T., Monster, E.T., Monster, E.T., Monster, E.T., Paranormal. They alternated the show. It wasn't like, as a matter of fact, last year, they did E.T. in the first show. They did the crashed saucer. They showed the triangle craft in the warehouse. And then they did like five, six episodes in a row of Paranormal. They didn't come back to E.T. and resolve everything until the last episode. So that's the way that Chris Carter has always done it. You know, it can't be all E.T. all the time. And he did the same thing with the movies, too. He alternated in the movies, right? One of the movies was just a psycho killer, right? Right, Dan? See, Dan knows about all this stuff. I don't. I fake my way through it. Let's go to, just messing with you. I'm a big fan, but I'm with you on that. Each one of the new seasons, the first episode was pretty amazing when it came to the E.T. stuff. No question about it. Let's go to Chris in Massachusetts. Chris, you're up next on Coast.
How you doing, Jimmy? Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Chris.
I just wanted to say first and foremost that, you know, I just love what you and George do. And, you know, it gets me home from work every morning. I work a night shift. So thank you so much for that.
Right on.
So I just wanted to talk about a couple of supernatural experiences I've been experiencing over the last 2 years in my house and kind of get your take on it.
Okay, number one.
So first and foremost, my sister had stayed at our house not too long ago. Probably, actually, it was more like a year ago. And she woke up in our guest bedroom and with a woman's voice screaming in her ear. And we didn't think too much of that. My sister has always kind of been one that has a third eye, so to speak. And, you know, my mother and my father, they live with my wife and my daughter and I. And so the guest bedroom now is now my daughter's bedroom. And we have a baby monitor on the crib. And,
right.
Many times we can pick up orbs, you know, kind of traveling across the room on the baby monitor.
Really?
And my daughter, who's 2.5 years old, she'll wake up randomly throughout the night, crying, you know, but it hasn't happened in a while. But the most significant thing that happened to me was when I was, we have a couch in our bedroom, and I was watching TV, and I'm kind of a late night guy anyway. And I'm watching TV, and out of my peripheral vision, I see a woman with long hair standing over me, and it's kind of, you know, the hair's stuck up on the back of my neck, and I looked, and then it was gone. And then the other thing that's happened to me is both my mother and I, on separate occasions, have seen a white beam of light, very, very, you know, very bright, streaking across the yard. We have a slider glass door that looks out down the yard.
Right.
It happens typically around 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, which is the witching hour. And, so it's been random, ongoing. The house isn't that old. It was built in the 70s.
What city are you close to, like Salem?
No, we're in central Massachusetts. We're in the, you know, the Sturbridge area.
Right. Still old, right? There's lots of stuff going on there. You could have residual things all over the place.
Yeah. And the former owners, we actually got the house on, it was a foreclosed property.
Mm-hmm.
The former owner, had a you know, had a pretty hard time. He went through two marriages. And
how old is the house?
The house is from the mid-70s.
Right.
And you know, when we bought the place, there was actually, you know, some holes in the walls that we had to, you know, do a lot of, you know, perform a lot of TLC on the house to get it back to where we would like it.
Right.
And, the guy had gone through two marriages.
That's the house, but you never know what was there before that house.
Right.
We're talking about hundreds of years. I have a friend that lives in that part of Massachusetts as well. Went to his house, and the house itself was, 150, 200 years old. But we were out on the property, and we went up to this wall, and he literally said, he goes, man, that wall is 300 years old. And I said, really? Yeah, yeah. There's this went on with the Native Americans over here, and this went on over. I was like, this is old. And right. I don't want to seem naive about what's going on here. It's that this property had activity going on from all sides for a very, very long time. So that's what I'm saying. You never know. You never know who that was standing next to you late at night when you were watching TV.
And it's something that was, incredibly real to me. I mean, I was wide awake. I wasn't asleep or anything.
Oh, I believe you.
And there's times at night in which, you catch things out of the corner of your eye. And it's happened to my wife. It's happened to my mother. It's happened to my sister. I mean, we if we're all having these experiences, it's got to be real,
Thank you, Chris. Last call of the night. Thank you so much, my friend, and behave.
Thank
we'll
you.
See
I appreciate
we'll,
it.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow night right here on Coast.
You got it.
Great show tonight. I want to thank everybody. Again, this is my first night back after the passing of Art Bell 2 weeks ago today. And the Coast audience, thank you, just for hanging there with me and allowing me to come in and be part of this show and what you do. You spend, 3-4 hours a night with us, and that means a lot. Think about that. All right, I got to thank Dan, the best, Tommy, second best, Lisa, Stephanie, Lex, Greg, Sean, George, and Rita. Tomorrow night, right here, Justin Deschamps, Yvonne Smith. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, standing in for George Norrie. Go Beckley Tappy.